Good morning. It's an unexpected blessing for me to be here this morning as well, and I thank the Lord for it. So thankful for the message that's come before. I hope I was paying attention as I should and heeding the importance of that text. What helped me so much with that text, and Brother Tyler mentioned as well, that all of that happens within the context of the church. Amen. That I love the plural ye's and yours through that passage to work out your salvation. That it's not a solo quest. That it isn't something that we have to brave and accomplish with the Lord, yes, but on our own. Aren't you thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Amen. That we together can work out our own salvation with that fear and trembling that was so ably spoken of. We truly need each other. We need each other to be able to honor and please the Lord in that regard and in that manner. I can't add anything to that good message, and I thank the Lord for it. I'm going to try to focus my thoughts on just a few points and not the entire concept and thought that's under consideration, and be mindful of the time. Pray the Lord would bless, and if he doesn't, lay it to my charge, and if he does, give him all the praise. I'm going to read a verse from Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, and give a few thoughts this morning. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." If you don't take anything away from this message but that verse, while God said it to Abram, I believe that's also applicable to us today. That we ought to fear not, for God is our shield and our exceeding great reward. And this verse isn't just in isolation. We know the account of what Abram is going through at this time. He's left Ur of the Chaldees with his nephew Lot. The Lord has prospered them, and they have grown, and there's strife between him and Lot, and so they have to part and go separate ways. And Abram says to Lot, "You go which way you want to go, and I'll go the opposite way." Lot, I believe, makes the wrong choice and pitches his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah and heads that direction. And the fruit of that is very quickly seen by war and battle. In fact, he's taken captive. And Abram, while he distanced himself from Lot for good reason, he also comes to help Lot in his time of need. And he takes up the battle and he takes up the cause. And he goes and he rescues Lot out of those that have taken him captive. Y'all, we're making a long story very short this morning. But we know that after this occurs, and, you know, it's told in very historic language without much emotion, without much of the drama and what he must have felt going through it, if you will. Then it comes to after the battle, and after the battle is won, there's one who's Melchizedek, who brings forth, interestingly, bread and wine. And he was a priest of the Most High God. This is chapter 14. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and hath given him, and he gave him tithes of all." And then immediately after that, the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." So in other words, I'll take the people, you take the spoils of the victory, and we'll part our separate ways. Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and a portion of their men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, Mamre, let them take their portion." And so that's the context in which we read these very precious words that God comes and speaks to Abram. It says, after these things, that was way faster than I thought it would to cover that history. But after those things, Abram comes in a vision saying, "Fear not, Abram." I kind of would have liked that before the battle. How about you? "Fear not, Abram, as you go into battle." You know, sometimes it's adrenaline that pushes us into it and carries us on, and we look back and we say, wow, I should have really been afraid of that situation. And you get afraid after the fact sometimes. Or it could be because the very presence of the holy and righteous God came unto him.
Amen.
And he says, fear not. You know, I think that's the opposite of the fear that you were speaking of, Brother Tyler, that reverential fear towards God. He's saying you don't need to be afraid because I am. Reminds me of the name that he gives to Moses as Moses goes back to the people of Egypt when he says, who shall I say has sent me? And he says, I am that I am. Jesus uses that title frequently throughout his own ministry, does he not? And God here says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield. In the immediate context, I think God is saying that victory that you just won was because I am your shield, right? But I think you can also take it into what happens afterwards. And the promises and the protection that God promises to Abraham after that. That God was his shield before and God would be his shield going forward. And God would be his protector. So what does it mean to be a shield? Well, a shield is something that we hold up to protect us even before the assaults come. It's someone who stands between us and the danger, right? We put that shield in front of us. And God here says, I'm that for you, Abram. I'm standing between you and the danger. I am that shield. And I believe you can look at the thought of God being our shield from so many different vantage points. I believe it's honestly one of those rich thoughts that you can kind of let your sanctified imagination start bouncing over Scripture with. I mean, it's a thought that comes up so many times in the book of Psalms. For instance, Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and my song will I praise, and with song will I praise him. Psalm 33 and verse 20. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He is that which stands between us and danger. And as we consider that thought from Abram being on the other side of battle, maybe we are in the midst of battle. Maybe we're going into the struggles and the trials of this life. But regardless, Christ stands as the shield for his people. I was debating what to speak on this morning, and somebody called. He promised never to leave us. No, never alone, right? That's the opening hymn. And one of those lines is, he stands to shield us from danger when Satan tempts us sore. What a powerful thought that our God stands between. You say, in what principle, in what way does he stand between? Well, I believe you can take that even before the foundation of the world, where he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hebrews chapter 7 came to mind, and it's the interesting connection with Melchizedek that I'm not going to get into. But it says in verse 22 that by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Do you know a surety is one who stands before the trouble comes? He's one who's held up before the assaults happen. And in the same way, Jesus stood as our surety. He was stood up before we even fell into sin. He was our surety. Just as we know the account in the book of Genesis concerning Judah being the surety of Benjamin, I believe. And before they would go back into Egypt, Joseph down in Egypt said, bring my younger brother. And the father didn't want to give up his younger brother because he had already thought he had lost one. And Judah stands up and he says, I'll be surety for him so that if anything bad happens to him, I will bear the blame and I will take the blame. He stood up preemptively, if you will. And Christ stood up preemptively and stood as our shield even before the foundation of the world because we were represented and chosen in Christ Jesus. And he took that position as the surety of a better testament. And so he is our shield. He is that surety. And when you consider this passage, my mind just went straight to Romans 8. And we'll look at the book of Romans chapter 4. There's a point I want to make concerning his reward this morning. Good brother spun me that direction this week, and I'll share that with you. But Romans chapter 8, I just want you to think about it in terms of Christ being our shield this morning. As we conclude the thoughts of the great purpose of God's salvation in that which he will surely has and will work for his people. He says, what then shall we say to these things? That's the full purpose of his salvation, from foreknowledge and predestination and calling and justification and glorification. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He stands between. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That's all of that full salvation that's under consideration. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? All right, here's someone who stands up to lay something at the charge of God's elect. Ah, but it's God that justifieth. It's God that declares us righteous. Who is he that condemneth? Who's he that can lay the sins at our feet? Well, it's Christ that stands between. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and I love this, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Do you see he's still standing? He's still our shield. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he's persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that can separate us, because Christ stands between, and he shields us from danger. Amen. He is our shield. He was Abram's shield. He's our shield today. Then it says in this passage, to fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I think it's very important to know that here God doesn't come to Abraham and said, if you do this, then I am your reward. If you believe me, then I am your reward. Or if you are obedient, then I will be your reward. He says, I'm your shield. Realize that even goes to the heart of his identity. I'm your shield. Parents, being your child's father or mother, does that go to who you are? It does. It's the nature of who you are. In the same sense, God's protection of his children is in the nature of who he is. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. Not I could be, not if this, then I will be your reward, but I am your reward. We heard so wonderfully preached this morning that we believe in salvation that's not through the works of righteousness of our own. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. You know, that point is mentioned in Romans chapter 4. I believe that not only do we not have our righteousness through works, we also don't understand our righteousness through works. But listen to this, and this is the connection that really got me here, and I'm bringing this to a close, beginning of Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then as Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if God were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham is going to believe this statement that God gives him, and the promise that God gives him in this chapter 15 that continues, but the statement and the promise was given freely by God, and then Abraham believed that truth that was presented to him. It says it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So a brother shared this with me this week, and I'll share it with you. And it was like one of those 2x4s that hit you across the head that has been there the entire time. You're like, why haven't I seen it before? Don't you love that when it happens in Scripture? Because it makes me feel really small. It makes God's word, you just see a little bit of how amazing it is. And you stand back and wonder, what reward? What's the context? Where is this reward found? Genesis 15:1. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great, what? Reward. Wow. How do we get that reward? How do we understand that reward? Through our works? Do we merit that reward? Paul says that if it's of works, then it's just wages we're receiving. But it's of grace, and we believe that which has been freely bestowed upon us from God. That he is our shield, and he is our exceeding great reward. You know, sometimes we have to be careful with how we explain time salvation. I'm explaining it to a coworker from a different order, and when he first heard me explain it, he thought that I was talking about the health and the wellness doctrine. That, you know, if we're good enough, then our bank account will be filled and we'll have a nice car and a nice house, right? That's not taught in Scripture, y'all. But what is taught is that if we follow after the Lord, he is our exceeding great reward. And I won't go back and read those passages in Romans chapter 8, but each time you see God standing up for you, I want you to see your shield, and I want you to see your exceeding great reward. Christ is the treasure that we all desire, and he is our shield and exceeding great reward. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.